Good morning. These three people said good morning. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Good. You awake? So you came to a later service, so you should be awake by now, right? Sorry. Okay. We're going to play musical chairs up here. No, I'm kidding. We're just setting up some chairs so we don't have to stand this whole time. We want to welcome you here to Cornerstone. If it's your first time, welcome. It's going to be a little different this morning. We, the six of us, it was beginning of June, got to travel to India to work with some girls that were rescued from the sex industry, from sex trafficking, and we want to tell you all about it. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Good morning, y'all. My name is Michaela. I am 19. I was the baby of the group. This is my first time in India, so like first time on an international mission trip. It was really cool. Right now, I am a counselor at Camp Dickinson, hence the like struggling to talk. If you know anything about camp, like you're screaming the whole summer, so I'm like trying to be as loud as I can. I go to Midway Baptist Church on Iron Ridge Road, and that's about it.
Hello, I'm Eugene, if you don't know who I am. I go to Cornerstone. I was the oldest of the group, if you can't tell. So that gave me free rein to, you know, tell dad jokes and try to make everybody laugh by saying really stupid stuff. I'm a web designer and graphic designer and wannabe videographer, but we'll get to more of that later.
My name is Brianna. I've been going to Cornerstone for probably 10-ish years. I'm a student at the University of Virginia, but not right now because it's summer, and I'm very thankful that it's summer because I needed a break. Yes, this is actually my second time in India. I was there about 4 years ago doing prevention work, like teaching people about sex trafficking and how to recognize it and protect themselves from it. So being able to go back and actually work with girls who've come out of the sex industry was really amazing.
Hello, my name is Heath. Right now, I'm currently the media director at Camp Dickinson. I also do the aquatics. It's great fun. I love it. I'm also a student at Withfield Community College. I'm a communications and media major. That's lots of fun, too. This was my first time in India.
My name is Austin. I'm a member here at Cornerstone. I have three part-time jobs. I work for Eugene down there doing web design. I work at the farm supply over here, and I also work for an older couple doing pretty much whatever they ask me to do, landscaping and gardening and such. And this is the first time I've ever been to India.
Hello, my name is Tabitha. This was my second time in India. And was really excited to be able to go back there. I work right now, I just transitioned out of working as a resident manager at a boarding school in a girls' dorm, so I love to work with teenagers. Now I'm working front desk at a dentist office, so that's a little bit of what I do when I'm not in India. We want to tell you a little bit about what we did and share some testimonies, just as kind of a little bit of a background for those of you who don't know. The purpose of this team going was to run a camp, like a summer camp, for girls and women who've been rescued out of the sex industry. And you can't assume necessarily that people know what sex trafficking is, so just a little bit of background on that. It's just girls, women, sometimes it can be men and boys as well, who are forced to commit sex acts for profit, except that they never actually see that profit. They're being controlled by someone else. So it's basically modern day slavery, particularly in the sex industry. And it's across the entire globe. It's very prominent in India. So we worked with an organization that's really awesome. The main focus of what they do is to help rescue girls who are minors out of the sex industry, out of the brothel. So they actually go in undercover and identify who these girls are. They go, if they find out that there's a minor, they'll send people in. They'll go in and find out where she is, what's up, kind of figure out the area, and then they'll go to the police with this information. And it takes a while. It's a lot of work that goes into rescuing even just one girl. But then they'll go in with the police. They'll help rescue the girl. They'll help place her somewhere else, help give her aftercare. So that's the main thing that they do. They've got several other things that they do. And one of them is these camps. And so in order for one of these camps to happen, the first thing that has to happen is that a church is willing to sponsor it and raise the money so the girls can travel, so they can rent a campground, so they can pay for a camp. So the first thing that happens is there's a church in the U.S. that sponsors it, and then the staff for this ministry contacts the homes and asks them, do you have any girls who've been rescued from the sex industry in your home who would benefit from this camp? Are they ready? Have they been rescued for long enough? Are they in the right age range? Are they ready to come? And so then while they're going through all of that work, we in the States are working on planning camp and what that looks like. So the rest of the team wants to tell you a little bit about what we did while we were there.
So you think about summer camp, Bible camp, there's always lessons that go along with that. So of course we planned all of that. We came up with the lesson. We were here. I mean, it was like months of planning. I remember being here down in the community room, sitting on the couches down there, just praying together as a team what we were going to teach through, just asking God to lead us in that. And somebody mentioned the book of Ruth. And so we started kind of praying about that and reading through the book of Ruth together and started kind of just realizing how many parallels you might could draw between the story of Ruth and these girls' lives. You know, we look at Ruth. The book of Ruth starts with Naomi and her husband and her sons move to the land of Moab. Her sons marry. All the men end up dying, her husband and her sons. So Naomi and her now daughter-in-law, Ruth, come back to Israel. And so, you know, we just started seeing about, like, how these girls have come from different places. They're in a new place. They are essentially had the kind of same status as widows in Israel. They had basically no rights, no really way of income, no way to provide. And so, we started just kind of drawing parallels and decided to go through that. Beforehand, we were kind of, the government, India is a Hindu nationalist government, and they don't really like missionaries, Christian missionaries. They don't allow proselytizing. So we were a little bit nervous about what that looked like for us to talk about Jesus, to talk about the Bible, to talk about God. So we actually ended up being very fortunate. We were able to, all of the homes that the girls came from were Christian or Catholic homes, so that all these girls had already been exposed to Jesus, and the chaperones that came with them were Christians. And then the camp that we actually rented was run by Christians there. So we were very fortunate we could openly talk about Jesus. We were able to openly proclaim the gospel at the end. It worked out perfectly. There's four chapters in the book of Ruth. So we had 4 days we had to fill up with lessons. So we ended up doing, we had a theme each day. The first day we talked about Ruth 1, we talked about courage. You know, what it takes. Ruth had to have courage. God gave her courage to leave her home, leave her land. She obviously, the more logical choice would have been to stay with her family where she knew people. She might have had some connections, but she moved back to Israel with Naomi, where she had basically no connections, no rights and stuff. The next day we talked about opportunities. The second chapter of Ruth, talking about Ruth given the opportunity to glean behind the harvesters in a field. That was kind of a tradition that the harvesters didn't leave everything there. They were allowed, widows and orphans were allowed to glean behind them to provide for themselves, for their families. The next day we talked about trust. Ruth trusting the things that Naomi tells her, the wisdom that God, that Naomi gave her, the wisdom that like God was giving her. And the last day we talked about redemption, how Ruth and Naomi, how they're redeemed by Boaz, their kinsman redeemer, and how that kind of, we tied that into the gospel, how God redeems all of us, how we all need redemption.
So my little expertise, I guess, was the games portion. We brought some American things to the camp, and they liked it. But as a team, you know, if you've never planned games to match with the lesson, it's very hard, I can tell you that. We'd suggest the game, we'd be like, yeah, it's pretty good, but then there'd be someone like, oh, maybe not. And so, but we, like, freeze tag. I wanted freeze tag, but no one else wanted freeze tag. We don't talk about that. But but the games were actually really awesome, and it was one of my favorite parts. Because, you know, for the first game, we just got some stuffed animals. They threw them around, said their names. We got to learn their names. And for all of us, their names were... Learn their names. We had a, you know, their names are kind of hard to say, but that's okay. We got them eventually. And that was really awesome. I know for trust, we set up an obstacle course, and they partnered up. One person was blindfolded. the other person led them through the course, like talking to them, guiding them, kind of building that trust with each other, and that was really cool. And then the camp favorite and Austin's idea was Marshmallow River, right? And if you've never played that game, there are some pictures of it before, but it's, you know, you have your marshmallows, your mats, whatever you have available. You have a start, you have an end, and the goal is to get from one to the other without letting go of your teammates, letting your marshmallows or your mats float away. It's really hard. They loved it so much that we actually did it twice. They requested it twice, so that was really cool. But one of the awesome things about the games, you know, we came in just thinking, oh, these are games, they're going to have fun, that's it. But they actually had a debrief period after the games, and the lessons they took from the games are actually so deep, and they were very, very profound. And, you know, we walked in like, oh, there's games, but they got some major life lessons from the games. And it also allowed, you know, the group as a whole to get together because, you know, it's camp. They come with their own little tiny groups, and you kind of want to stick with the people you know. But the games allow them to sort of mesh together as a group and get to know everybody and also get to bond with us more because they got to see us be goofy and stuff. As you probably saw up there, there are some cowboy outfits that we had on. Lots of fun. I fail sometimes, but that's okay. But they really enjoyed that, seeing us bond. Also, there are two dudes that came, Mike and Richard. They're from India, and they led sort of outdoor activities like a slack line and climbing, and it was really cool. And the lesson they took from those were also really awesome. So the games were one of my favorite parts.
Yes. So what would camp be without games? What would camp be without crafts? And it's kind of funny that I was the one who's put in charge of crafts because I'm like the least creative person in the universe. Like, seriously, if it wasn't for Pinterest, we would have been, I don't know, like dunking rocks in glue or something like that. Like, it would have been bad. So yes, thank God for Pinterest. So what I did was we tried to come up with different crafts that would kind of go along with the lessons. So we were trying to follow a theme. So the first day where we talked about courage, we decorated journals with the idea of just like when you're being honest and open and you're journaling your feelings, that takes courage to be open with yourself and open with others. And being open with yourself is maybe the first step in being able to be courageous and open. The second day we talked about opportunities. So we painted some bags that was kind of like you're going on a journey. It's an opportunity. You got to bring your bag with you. Maybe a stretch, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. The third day we was trust, so we painted or like decorated picture frames. That was great. It was kind of like the idea of, you know, who's someone that you can trust, that you can see, you know, having a picture of them. Who is this person that you trust in your life? And then the fourth day was redemption, and we did mosaics of like something that's smashed and broken. You can make it into something beautiful. So, anyways. We kind of came up with those ideas, and then we bought all of the supplies when we were here in the States. So I went and raided Hobby Lobby, like spent $500. People were giving me weird looks. I had like, you know, 30 picture frames. And yeah, we packed it all in our luggage. And like somebody was saying before, it's a little bit tricky to get into India right now. They're very anti-missionary, anti-Christian, and so when you're going into the country, they like question you and ask you, what are you going to be doing there and things. And so we were all like trying to come up with stories of like, okay, why do we have 30 picture frames, a milk jug, glue guns, and a hammer in our luggage? You know, like, how do you explain that to someone? So thankfully we were able to get into the country with all of our supplies. It went really smoothly. And then we would do those crafts every day. And it's so funny because I don't know, something like painting a bag, it doesn't seem particularly profound, but it just meant so much to the girls. First of all, we were just amazed by how incredibly creative they are. Like I said, if it wasn't for Pinterest, who knows what we would have been doing, but these girls would just see this bag, they would have some paint, and they would just create something amazing. They would just take it so much further than we could have ever imagined, and they loved it. Like, they loved being creative, and that was so awesome and encouraging. And every day, we would kind of have a debrief time at the end of the day. The girls would talk about their high points of the day, low points of the day. And one question that they would always ask, the organization would always ask, was, when did you feel free today? When was the time when you felt free? And more than once, the girls would say, I felt free today when I was doing my craft. And when I was able to be creative and just do whatever I wanted, that was when I felt most free. And so it was just really encouraging how something as simple as decorating a picture frame can make someone feel free. Just one quick story. We did a demonstration on the day where we talked about redemption with the mosaics. So Heath had this plate and there was a hammer, and he was kind of talking about our lives and how our lives are represented by this plate. And then he smashed the plate with the hammer and it broke into all these different pieces. And he's like, you know, sometimes life happens and things happen to us in our lives that break us, and we end up feeling like we're shattered and we're useless. But then God can take those pieces of our lives and put it back together into something beautiful. And later when we were talking in our groups, one of the girls said, and she was quite quiet, honestly, she was like, when Heath did that and when that plate smashed, I jumped. I was like, that's my life. That's what's happened to me. Like, my life is like that plate. It's been broken, but there's so much hope for me. There's so much hope for my life that God can put those pieces back together. And that just really clicked for her, and it was really powerful.
All right, so they didn't let me be in charge of crafts, so, or games. So what I got to help with was doing the video stuff. We went in knowing that we wanted to be able to create a video for the organization that we were working with, so that they can in turn kind of make a commercial out of it to be able to share with people that are interested in helping them out to be able to do more of these camps. So that's what we did. We took video of everything we possibly could. I told, it was me, Heath, and Austin, we all had some form of a camera on us, and we were just like, I just told him, I said, let's get like 10 hours of footage or more so that we can make like a 3-minute commercial. And we got so much stuff, but it was all good stuff. And then when we went in, we weren't expecting this, but they asked us to take pictures, and that's where all of these pictures came from. We took so many pictures. I narrowed it down to like 200 last night, but we have thousands, a few thousand pictures of everything that we did. But that honestly was like one of my favorite things to do, because we got to go around and we got to see the girls having so much fun. I mean, like, the girls were just being normal, typical teenage girls. And it was fun. And there was actually no drama, which amazed all of us. But it was just cool because we got to see them smile. We got to see not just happiness, but joy. You know, we got to see the joy coming back into their life because they've been rescued from such a dark, nasty place. And they got to come out there and just chill and relax and have fun and be normal, or actually would probably be abnormal to them, but it was their new normal. But it was just cool to see, because it was like the youngest was 15 and the oldest was in their 30s. So we had a variety of ages, and you could see like the mamas in the group, some of the older ones, they would, especially doing Marshmallow River, they would come out and they were very, what's the word? They were making, telling them exactly how to do it. They were like, we need to do it this way. And we actually had to explain to them a few things. They had no clue what marshmallows were, as far as we could tell, because they don't eat sweets over there. It made me very sad. But we introduced them to marshmallows. Don't worry. They didn't really like them, though. Made me super sad. And then we also got to teach them rock, paper, scissors. They had, like, no clue. There was a few of them, but most of them had no clue how to play rock, paper, scissors, which is, you know, like American staple kind of thing. But they had so much fun. They were screaming and hollering and just, oh, it was just really cool to see that and to capture it, and so that we can go back and you know, kind of relive those moments. And it also kind of gives us a reminder to be praying for them. And I made a promise to all of the girls there that us six white people would be praying for them, and that I would come and tell everybody that I could tell for you guys to be praying for them as well as they continue on in their new life, that they can figure out exactly what they want to do in their life if they haven't already, and that God will just keep them safe.
Okay, so I want to talk to you guys about, like, the whole discussion time, like the debrief where they talked about what they got out of the crafts and the message and all that stuff. And so I wrote it all down because I knew I'd forget, so I'm just going to read it to you guys. It's still good. Okay. So the girls were very receptive to the messages we taught and the power of Jesus in their lives. Several shared how it is through Christ's power that they are able to move forward and to not look back at their past and be crippled by it. Many discussed how God has given them the strength to forgive family members that did them wrong and so on. As the story of Ruth was taught, the girls took it to heart. They believed that they too could be brave like Ruth. They believed that God could turn their lives around and make something beautiful with what they'd been given. Many of the girls shared their dreams and goals with us. Dreams like becoming mathematicians and social workers. And several even shared their dreams of wanting to come and live in America. They want and are living in freedom. One girl in particular, Pratima, I said her name wrong the whole week. I said Pratima. And so, like, of course, she gave me grace because I was white and a white American. But it's Pratima. Pratima shared how she wanted to be a police officer in the city. She wants to do this, she said, in order to catch the bad guys selling girls and to free women from prostitution like herself. She showed so much courage and hope in that little statement because she saw a life outside of her past and wanted to use it for something good. She wants to use her story to help reach out to the girls in similar situations, as did many of the girls at the camp. Two things that really stuck out to me was the love these girls shared and the hope they had for the future. They poured into us and into each other so much, making it clear that anyone can be transformed by God's amazing love, no matter how bad the situation. They didn't let their past harden their hearts towards people, even though they had every right to. This impressed me and inspired me to want to love more like Christ. And despite all they had been through and the lack of experience they have for a normal life, they believe and know that God will carry them into greater things. And they really, truly believe that. You could tell in their just the way that they carry themselves. We left these girls with so much hope and courage. We also left a piece of us with them as well. My heart for these girls and their hearts for us are so full. There were a few tears shed when we all climbed in the bus and waved our final goodbyes, but we left with an assurance that these girls' stories are not over. These girls are experiencing freedom and new life, all because of Christ. Meeting them and interacting with them on a personal level has opened my eyes to how important it is to believe in change for people in human trafficking. They are proof that there are success stories, and these girls are worth every effort we make to get them to that point of freedom. I can only imagine the plans God has for each and every one of them and how he can use their stories for good.
All right. Now we're going to pass the mic down to the other end. What we did is before we did this, we had like a few questions and we were like, okay, we want to talk about these questions. It kind of gets a little bit deeper of like what we personally took from this. Because there was a lot. There was a lot that each one of us took from it, but we don't have enough time to share it all. I'd love to, but we just don't. just say the question that you're going to answer.
So one of the questions that we had was just sharing like a favorite memory from camp, something that stands out. And I think we all have a lot of really precious moments. But one of the ones that stands out to me the most was on the last day, Austin was teaching on redemption in the last chapter of Ruth. And we tried to make the lessons interactive and ask the girls questions. And they had so many things to offer, so many ways that they connected it with their life. And so this one girl opened up and started talking about being in the place where she was. And they won't say brothel. They won't tell you that they were working as prostitutes, but you can tell that that's what she's talking about. And she was talking about being in this place and just really praying and asking God to take her out of it. And an older woman came and helped rescue her. And she was relating to Naomi in the story and how Naomi gave Ruth guidance. And so she was rescued. And then she went on to talk about how where she lives now out in the village, there's this hill that she likes to climb. And she was out there one day and she met a woman who was wearing a cross. But she doesn't know what a cross is, and you would have to meet this girl She has one of the biggest personalities I think I've ever encountered. We had a whole lot of fun, but she asked this woman, "What is that stick thing around your neck?" And the woman explained to her, "This is a symbol of my God." And so she just kind of like absorbed that and took that. And then that night she says, God came to her in a dream. And that was just so precious to me for a number of reasons. For one thing, this was one of the girls that I built a really strong friendship with. Was really, really challenging to leave. Once we leave, we can't ever talk to these girls again. We'll never know outside of a miracle what happens to them. But just seeing that God was there before us, paving the way, that he was pursuing them, how much he loves them, that he will go to any length to reach them and to reach their hearts and to let them know that they are loved. And it's just such a comfort to know that he can invade those places, those dark places, and he can come to them, and that he will, that he loves so, so, so much.
So I actually answered a different question than what I'm going to answer this time. I feel a little bit led to talk about this as opposed to what I talked about first service. But one of the questions that we asked in preparing for this speaking was, how did this trip kind of like change you? Like, how do you feel different? What do you feel led in different ways? So just in answering that, to kind of go back to one of the initial reasons I felt like I ought to go on this trip. And that is that, like, the first time I ever really heard of human trafficking, like a woman was talking about, probably Brianna actually. And so it's kind of like the people that are speaking up about this issue are predominantly women. And even like Tabitha has told me that she's heard men say, well, this is more of a women's ministry. But I don't think that that's true. I think that there needs to be more and more men standing up and speaking about it. And so that was a big reason that I went. And so going kind of confirmed that for me. Because I was not really sure, because even the organization that we went through typically kind of wants more women than men. This was the first group that I ever went that was equal men and women as far as number goes. And so they were. This was kind of a first for them. They were a little bit nervous, but also excited to see what God would do. And it worked out well. And so it just kind of confirmed for me to continue like speaking up about it. Like, and so what does that look like back here in the United States? You know, I had like shortly after I got back, I sat down with my friend Sam and we were talking about stuff. He was asking about the trip and he said, you know, there's like another side of this coin. He was saying that, you know, if you get rid of the demand, then it will go away, you know? And so, part of what needs to be done, I think, as far as fighting trafficking, prostitution, such as getting rid of that demand, and most of the demand comes from men. So, what that entails is just raising children that understand like what you know, what like good moral standpoints on sex is, stuff like that, what it means to be a husband, just taking like marriage and stuff very seriously, getting rid of like. Spreading awareness on like the destructiveness of pornography, how that fuels trafficking. And so I just feel kind of like really called maybe in that area moving forward there, like looking at like how do we address this issue of human trafficking among men.
So the question I'll be answering is the same. How has I like changed or how what I took back? So we first arrived, and you know the girls. They first showed up, and they were all, you know, my age or close to my age, and that really, you know, shook me up a little bit. You know, seeing that, you know, they're my age, and they've already been through about 10 times more than I could ever imagine going through, which is just ridiculous and crazy. And you know, like my first night, I didn't sleep. It was a rough night. I was trying to compartmentalize what I had just seen and what was happening and all the information, and it was crazy. And you know, me and Austin Eugene, we were told when we got in, you know, they're small groups, but if they're not opening up because you're there, you might have to leave. You might have to just step away for a little bit. But the girls, in fact, you know, in our small groups, they actually opened up when I was there. And at one point they actually asked what my opinion was on things. And I was with Michaela and I just looked at her and I was like, help, what do I do? I didn't expect it to happen, but that just really, it allowed me to understand that these girls, even though they have been through all this trauma, which is so much trauma for their age, they were ready to move on. They love the Lord with all their heart, and they knew that their past does not define who they are or who they want to be. And they knew that, and they believed that, and they wanted that. So even though they had gone through all this bad experience, they were ready to move on. Even so, they wanted to ask a man's opinion, which was, I thought, was very profound and mature for them. And it also taught me, like, okay, they've been through this, they want to move on, so what's my excuse? What do I have that I say God can't handle if they understand that they can move on? So it was something that I will definitely take with the rest of my life. It was very meaningful, and it was awesome.
All right, I like just now decided what I'm going to talk about. So, just like a favorite memory from camp was when I was teaching. So I taught on trust, and as I'm sure you guys have realized, like, trust is a really big thing for these girls. I mean, I think trust is a big thing for all of us, but when you have been betrayed by person after person after person and used your whole life, it's incredibly difficult to trust people, and it's incredibly difficult to open up and to be honest. And so I was, like, given that teaching to talking about trust, and I actually got really sick on the day that I was going to teach on that. And I knew how important it was, what a big deal it was. And I was like, if this kills me, I'm going to teach on trust. I will finish, and then I will die. I'm a little dramatic sometimes. But so anyways, I like prayed, and because I, of course, I had something that I had prepared. But then I just felt like I needed to go back, and I needed to ask God, you know, what do you have to say about trust? What do you want to tell these girls about trust? Because there's just so much there. And God just, he really opened my eyes to how when we don't trust people, it makes our lives really small. And we're so just inwardly focused. Like, we can only rely on ourselves. We never open up. We never experience life because we're so afraid. And a big reason why we don't trust other people is because really we don't trust God, and we really don't trust that God is going to take care of us or be there for us, and that really in the end it comes down to really that trusting God. If we trust God that he is good, then it's so much easier for us to trust other people. So anyways, I got up there, I was teaching, I was fine for like most of the lesson. Then towards the end there, I was like tunnel vision. I was like, I'm gonna pass out. Then I was like, no, you're gonna make it to the end. So I did. I made it to the end, and then I got up to like walk away, and I like literally almost passed out. I was like on the floor, hands and knees. Austin comes up to me. He's like, Brianna, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. I just almost passed out, but it's okay. It's all good. Could you go get Tabitha, please? But anyways, so that happened. They like rushed me off to bed so I could like recover. But then afterwards, Because Eugene and I weren't there at the discussion time, because after the lessons they would discuss this, it was just Indians who were there at the discussion time, which was actually such an incredible blessing, because they didn't have to translate. They were just speaking in Hindi. And the woman who was kind of running the whole camp told me afterwards, she was like, it was incredible the things that these girls were saying about trust. And actually, like, this one girl was opening up and sharing her whole story, and the fact that they would share this is so incredible. And she was talking about how much she struggles to trust people. And they had this really amazing conversation about, you know, like, she was like, I can't trust. I can't. And this woman, she was like, is it that you can't trust or that you won't trust? And they were just talking, like, what does trust look like? How can you trust practically in your life? Who are some people in your life that you can trust? And she was like, okay, I feel like I can trust these people in my life. And actually, they were able to talk more about, like, in depth about the gospel, because they were realizing, or this girl was realizing, that she was struggling to trust other people because she didn't trust God. She didn't really have that relationship with God where she could really trust him. And so they were like sharing the gospel through that experience. And so it's just really amazing what God does with something really small, the small bit of obedience, like how he can open up in other people's lives.
And it happened again. My brain just goes to mush when I get the mic in my hand. Okay, so something that changed for me, there was a couple things that I want to share. The first is that You know, God's reminded me a few times in my life in different situations that we have to be really careful when we come into contact with new people, that we don't judge them before we know their story. And that definitely happened. You want to go into something and think the best about people, and, you know, at the same time you're like, well, you know, they did this, that, and the other, whatever. But these girls, their stories are crazy, but their redemption out of it is amazing. And to see that, you know, they can move on, and to see, like I said, you could see the joy in them. We have to be careful with anybody that we come in contact with. When we meet them, find out their story, because their story could be that story that changes you and you walk away different. You know, we went in and we want to go in and we want to share the gospel with these girls, but then in turn, you know, they change us as well. We walk away completely changed. I'm going to do my best to tell this other part. So there's this song by a band called Remedy Drive. It's called Sunlight on Her Face. And I've been listening to this album before this trip and, you know, loved that particular song. And I told them all about it. I was all excited about this song because it's talking about how it's this girl that is just trapped in trafficking, and she just wants sunlight on her face. She wants to be able to get out and be free. And then a couple weeks ago, I was driving down to Winston, and I was like, I'm going to put this album on. I love this album, blah, blah, blah. And the whole album kind of reflects upon sex trafficking, because they actually, the group was in India, and they were actually working with a different organization to help rescue girls as well. And so the whole album kind of wraps around that. But anyway, I was driving down to Winston, and I put the album on, and when that song came on, I started picturing all of these girls. Just all the girls that, like, were in our small group, plus the rest of them, just all the smiles. The smiling, like, that was like being a dad and seeing these young girls get to smile was like a huge thing for me. It was like I had a whole bunch of new daughters. You know, they weren't obviously my daughters, but it was just kind of like that was where my mind went with these girls. And some of them might have, the older ones might have even been my age, but still it didn't matter. They all had like these smiles that were amazing. And if you could get them to smile, you could just see like just the joy in their eyes and in their face. But listen to that song. I started thinking about every girl. I just lost it. Like I started bawling as I'm driving down the road thinking about these girls. Didn't wreck. Thank God I didn't wreck the car. But it was just amazing to me to get this opportunity. I'm not one to eat spicy food, and that was what they served. There was a lot of, I called it spice and rice. Spice and rice. There was a lot of spice and rice in their meals. And but, you know, it's okay. God called me there. He opened up, like, so many things that to show me that I needed to go. And so I was like, oh, okay, I'll just have to get over myself, my pickiness. I'm high strung or high, I don't know what you call it, picky. I'm picky about food. That's really what it boils down to. But they were very, very nice. The lady who was running the camp was very nice to me. I think she killed a special chicken for me and cooked it with some lemon pepper instead of the spice. Okay, I got to tell the story. This was hilarious. This was one of my favorite camp stories. I know I'm doing two questions, but this has to be told. It was the last day we were there. We were kind of doing a debrief with some of the staff there. And we're getting ready. We're at the end, and we're going to pray. And Michaela was first in the circle. And she starts to pray. And this chicken is in the other room screaming for its life. It was definitely fresh and organic there. We'll put it that way. And she's in the middle praying. You're like, ah, and then you hear thump. and then there's no more noise. She's like in the middle of this serious prayer, trying her best to get through it. She's like, in Jesus' name. And she just moves on. It was great. She said it was terrible. I thought it was great. But anyway.
That was a sad moment for me. But
but it was tasty.
Yeah, it was tasty. They had really good food. Okay, so I'm going to answer two questions. First one was, what did you learn, or like how did your life change, like from the trip? And just my whole outlook on like people and their worth and their value has changed so much coming back here, because there was one girl in particular. Her name was Rosemary, and we were having like a one-on-one conversation, and she told me like she had a little bit like darker skin. Out of all of them, she was darker skinned, and she told me that if you have lighter skin, more sort of like a caramel skin, you're considered beautiful and all this stuff. And she said the darker your skin is, the less you are, the less beautiful you are. And if you met her and her heart for the Lord and her who she was as a person, she was worth so, so much. And it made me sad that people base like people's value on what they look like or what they do or all this stuff. And it made me think that like every person is so valuable to God, and like everyone here and everyone in India, everyone across the world, they all mean the same in God's eyes. And it's just really helped me to look at people with love, no matter who they are, and to just not judge people for what they look like, but just love them for the children of God that they are. So that was like a really heart change for me. And then I have a funny memory. So it was the first night. I didn't know, but Indians play Uno. And so we had a mad game of Uno going down. Me and Brianna were playing with all these girls, and they had no mercy. Like, there was this one girl in particular. She was sitting next to me, and she was determined to get me out. She was determined to make me be in last place. So her name was Muskan, and she was, like, giving me all these, like, take four cards. She was skipping me and everything, and I ended up losing. Like, I was probably at last because she was, like, so hardcore. And I remember at the very end of the night, after, like, we had played and everything, we were going to bed, she came up to me and she said, "Do you know what Muskan means?" And I said, "What?" She said, "It means smile." And she just, like, walked off and said goodnight, and that was it. And it was just really funny, but her personality and all their personalities were just so awesome, and they were so full and so unique. And it makes me think that, like, they're just normal girls looking for a normal, beautiful life. And it was really cool to get to meet them one-on-one and see how they interact and see how they live, because honestly, they're just like us, and they have a heart like us, and they have dreams like us. And it was really cool to see them on the other side of all this and sharing our dreams and just being, like all of them said, teenage girls. And so, yeah.
All right. So, yeah, we're about out of time. So I'm going to get up. You guys can remove chairs. One thing I do want, another quick little funny thing. She was talking about, like, the lighter the skin, the better off they were, and we were white. So we were, like, super popular. The first day we got in, we went into town to do a little shopping and stuff. And, well, even in the airport, this random dude comes walking up to me, and he goes, "Can I take a selfie with you?" I was like, "Sure, why not? If you want a selfie with me, sure, why not?" And then, like, all these people just kept coming up to us. They wanted pictures. So I snapped a few of them myself. But it was so funny. Anyway, going to serious. The reason that we like to do this kind of stuff, to be able to tell you guys about our trip, is because we want to encourage you guys. You may not be up for spice and rice. You may not be ready to go to India or Nicaragua or wherever, but don't let that stop you from doing mission work. If Christ has called you, If you are Christ, if you belong to Christ, he has called you to go and to speak the word. You know, he has called you to go out and to spread the gospel to anybody that you meet. It can be here, it could be in the state of Virginia, the U.S., wherever. Wherever God calls you, just be prepared. Because I honestly, like, when they talked about the trip to India, like, I was cool with Nicaragua. I've been there 3 times. I was good with it. But when they were talking about going to India, I was like, nah, I'm good because of the spice and rice. I'm just being honest. The whole pickiness of my eating habits, it's horrible. But God was like, he showed me a few times, go, go, go. And I was like, okay, I'll go. And it was amazing. It has changed me. And I'm hoping that what, you know, some of the stuff that we said encourages you guys to be willing that when God calls you to go, that you'll be willing to step up and go. And just know that God is going to be with you every step of the way. I mean, it was like 18 hours of flying over there. That was just nuts. You know, but God was nice enough to give us a little screen in front of us with movies that played the whole time if we weren't sleeping. Anyway, I'm going to have Brady bring up a verse. What's church without scripture, right? So, most of you probably know this. I know this very, or I should know this very well. If any of you have talked to me longer than 30 minutes, I've brought up the band that I used to be in moons ago called Believe. Verse 9 was like our go-to verse. This was the reason that we have the name Believe. Anyway. So it says, in fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. I'm going to start from the end of that and go back to the front. So us six in the group, you know, that was what our goal was to do, was to go and to spread the good news. But we had to be sent. You know, God called us to go. You know, God opened the door. Evan and Leah were here the first service. They were over there for 7 years. Oh, my goodness, 7 years. They were over there eating the spice and rice. And they said they loved it. So, but, I mean, like, they had their kids over there. They were living there. They were, like, involved with this, with the organization and everything. And, you know, then they came back to here, and they've been trying to get together a group to go. And this year we could go. They contacted Brianna. Brianna talked Tabitha into it, and it just went from there, and the rest of us kind of joined in. And because God called them, the rest of us were able to be able to go and be able to help them to do this camp. And so, and I also want to encourage you, if you know of other churches that would be interested in doing that type of camp, talk to one of us. We'd be glad to put you in contact with the right people to get that going. I just want to make that side note. But, you know, the thing about this is that we can't really be sent unless we really know who Christ is. You know, that's the first part of this verse, is that if that you have to call on the name of the Lord in order to be saved. So if you are in this room right now and you've listened to this and you feel God kind of pulling on your heart strings, answer the call, pick up. You know, he wants to talk to you. He wants to call you in. All you have to do is just confess that he is Lord of your life, that you want him to be Lord of your life, and that you want to repent of your sins, and you want him to take that over, take it from you, remove it from your life, and that you want to turn around and walk the other way from the sin that you're in. It's really very simple. And then from there, the Holy Spirit will just guide you. The Holy Spirit can guide you to read the scripture. The Holy Spirit can guide you to understand the scripture, because that's the only way my brain would understand it. You know, he will lead you down the path that he wants you to go from there, as long as you're willing to listen. So I'm going to pray, get the praise team up here. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to share the blessing that we received of getting to go to India, Lord. And we just pray that, Lord, that if there's people in this room that feel called to any type of mission work, whether it be here locally or across the seas, Lord God, that you would just build that in their heart, Lord God, that you would put a burden on their heart, Lord God, to just go and do and know that you are going to help them along the way, Lord. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody in this room that doesn't know who you are, Lord God, that they would be willing to confess to you their sins and confess that you are Lord of their life, Lord God. And I know that you will be more than willing to open your arms and welcome them in and call them your own. We just thank you, Lord. We praise you. We glorify your name. Walk with us as we leave here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as we close, as they sing, if you want to just sing, stand up and sing. If you want to come up and have communion, come up, have communion. If you want to pray at the altar, pray at the altar. If you want to pray at the cross or write down your prayer requests, the elders of the church will be more than glad to pray for you guys. Again, if you have any questions, just ask any of us about our trip. Thanks.
All right, we have one song we're going to close out with here, so we encourage you guys to respond however you see fit. And, just stand up and let's praise God this morning.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow. Good, oh, you are good, you're good, oh, yes, you are good, you're good, oh, you are good, you're good, oh, let the King
You're never gonna let me down.
let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
We thank you that you take our brokenness and you put it back together and you make something beautiful, Lord. We pray, God, that if there's someone here that's in that broken state, Lord, that you would just let them know that you're there, that there is hope, that they can be put back together through your grace and through the death of Jesus and his resurrection. We pray, God, that as we go through our lives, that you would help us to remember that we are so blessed and that we have hope and that we can share that hope with others. And it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen.